Hello, fans. This is Marty Lurie. Breaking into the major leagues during baseball's exciting 1950s gave a player a chance to see some of the best moments in baseball history. Earl Robinson played for the Los Angeles Dodgers in 1958 before moving over to the Baltimore Orioles. Former outfielder Earl Robinson tells us about some of his favorite memories, including facing Sad Sam Jones and his curveball, as well as his roommate in Baltimore, legendary defensive tackle Big Daddy Lipscomb of the Baltimore Colts, in Earl Robinson's baseball memory.
It was amazing. I mean, all the great ones that I've been hearing about all that time. Now I'm playing with him. But one of the things that happened with me when I played my first game in that stadium, or against Sam Jones, I'd heard about this guy, and he had a reputation. You know, Sam would throw that fire on your breast in a minute, right? So I got up to plate, and I'm getting myself ready. And the first pitch I saw coming, I ducked. My shoes went one way. My hat and gloves and underclothes went the other way. And then I heard the umpire said, "Strike!" I said, "This man's got to be crazy." I got up and looked at him. He said, "Son, that's a major league curveball." So that was my introduction there. The people are really the thing that did it for me. Particularly the story for me was when I went to Baltimore. I lived with Gene Lipscomb, Big Daddy Lipscomb, all right? That was my roommate at the time. Well, Gene wanted to come to the ballpark one day. And he said, "Come on, let's go with it." So I said, "Okay, come on with me. Let's go." So we went to the ballpark. And so we're getting ready to hit. And Milt Pappas, who is a fan of Big Daddy's, said, "Come on out here and hit this ball." Big Daddy told him, "I can hit you." He got out there and got ready to bat. And Milton hit him. Milton hit him, and he said, "You little sucker, you." And next thing you saw was Big Daddy running through the park, chasing Milt Pappas through the park. And I fell on the ground laughing. It was really something. So those kinds of incidents are things that really make it well for me. You know, you're hitting a home run in Yankee Stadium and talking with a wonderful guy like Sandy Koufax, who's marvelous. Having a roommate like Maury Wills and John Roseboro, dealing with the kindness and the strength of Brooks Robinson, you know, I mean, those. And then have my cousin Floyd Robinson playing for the White Sox and the other team, and you know, we're trying to outdo each other, and just those great experiences there.
Well, a couple of things that you do mention. Yankee Stadium, you've been there. Roger Maris, 1961, you were part of the Orioles that year. When it came down to would Maris get 61, you were on the field for 59 and 60.
Well, 59, he hit over me, I think, in Baltimore. And then Yankee Stadium, he hit number 60. In fact, I got a wonderful note from Billy Crystal, who did 61. So that was interesting. So you don't really understand the impact of it now here, all this time later. Now folks are going through all these changes about it. But at that time, we were just playing a game, you know. And if you hit the home run, great. But now it has tremendous historical significance.
Managers are always interesting. You break in under Walter Alston, Paul Richards, Lum Harris, Billy Hitchcock, Hank Bauer, your major league managers. Talk about them.
You know, you've mentioned all these wonderful names and people know them in baseball, but the best manager that I had was Preston Gomez. Preston Gomez was a brilliant man. He knew how to handle individuals. I'm talking about men, men who had temper, men who were timid, men who had great passion. He knew baseball. Austin was a very quiet gentleman, so I never had a chance to talk to him. Bauer, who was supposed to be this tough guy, Bauer was a really nice person in a sense that you didn't cross him or anything of that nature, and he'd just tell you what he wanted, and you'd do it, and that was the end. Paul Richards was a different sort. Brilliant man, but he was slow in terms of everything he did. I mean, when the umpire purportedly made a mistake out there on the field, it would take Paul Richards a half an hour to walk out there. Then he'd go out and state a rule, and then later on, the umpire would tell him to get off the field. He'd go back and get his rule book and come back out there the next time and then give him the rule book, you know. So Paul was different. He never really shouted at you. He just told you what he wanted. He'd ask me one time. He said, "Earl, do you think I can teach you anything?" You know what the question had to be. He was the coach. I'd learn. I said, "Yeah, yes, sir." I said, "You certainly can. You're the manager. You know the game." But that's kind of how it was. He'd throw little things out to test you. And then one of the real compliments he gave me, I think, in 61, I think I hit a home run in one of the few home runs I hit. But I hit one in, it was Wrigley Fields, and I hit a home run, and he just walked by me and he said, "Son, you're ready." When he just kept going, and those are the few words that he said.
Earl Robinson played 4 years in the majors, leaving the big leagues after the 1964 season with the Orioles. Gene Big Daddy Lipscomb, the most dominating defensive tackle of his era, anchored the Colts' NFL championship teams of 1958 and 59. This is Marty Lurie. Join me tomorrow for more stories with Earl Robinson on Memories of the Game. See you then.